Yes, welcome back to the show here on World Football Daily. We've had plenty of guests this week and there's plenty more coming as well, but I'm delighted to be joined by one of our very good friends here on the show, Mr. Chris Vokes of Goal.com, coming on to take us through Serie A action. We were back in the Italian football game this weekend after the winter break, and Chris is here to break it all down to us and also discuss a little bit about Andrea Pirlo's lack of inclusion in the FIFA World 11. Chris, how are you doing? How was the Christmas and New Year, mate?
Yeah, great. I had a really good time. Thanks, Ollie.
Were you in Italy for New Year, or were you at home in the UK?
I was back in London for the New Year. I've never actually been in Italy for the changeover of the year, New Year's Eve. I'm always back at that various house parties in England, but maybe one day.
Maybe one day. It's just Ben Hayward from Goal.com was telling us about some grape eating thing that takes place at midnight in Italy. I was just wondering if you knew if there's any odd traditions that took place in Italy when it came to the stroke of midnight on New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve or anything like that.
All I know at New Year's Eve at midnight is the old lang syne and everything like that, and various friends hugging me bang on midnight. That's just the way I got used to the occasion.
Well, somebody that's been getting plenty of hugs last weekend is Cavani in Napoli. A hat-trick on a huge game back for the Italian side. And against Roma as well. This is tough opposition they've been able to do it with. How important was it for Napoli that they start 2013 with this big win after slumping a little bit at the end of 2012?
Well, yeah, it's huge because they did literally, not just on the field, obviously, that they suffered a little bit at the end of 2012. It was off the field as well with what happened with Paolo Cannavaro and the whole discussion over the match fixing. And so, you know, there's a real kind of belief about a lot of people now that Napoli could fall apart and pretty quickly, but that performance and that result against Roma was a huge one for them. They weren't altogether convincing. You know, they had to be on their toes at the back at times. Roma missed some really notable chances throughout the game, particularly from Nestor and Michael Bradley, but you know, Napoli really made the most of it, and particularly Cavani. And it's just same old from him, isn't it? You run out of adjectives, really, because, you know, he's scored a hat-trick against Juve before, he's got a hat-trick against Milan, he's done it against Roma now. He really does do it in the big occasions. He's scored so many hat-tricks or four-goal hauls in the Europa League as well. It's like he has no fear when it comes to those big games. He really turns it on, and a lot of people were sceptical. I have to say, myself included, I wondered how he'd adapt to not having somebody of the ability of Ezequiel Lavezzi supplying him this season. But he got better, if anything else. He's just an absolute delight to watch when he's in that kind of form.
It's fantastic to watch, as you say, and Napoli will be very pleased to have him in their ranks at the moment, though. But what do you think about the possibility of him maybe leaving this January? Potentially a very big move in the summer as well on the cards for him. What's the Italian press saying about Cavani's future at Napoli?
I have to say, I think he could well be on the move. You know, Napoli have kind of hinted that they could allow him to leave. It would take an awful lot of money, and that's the only question mark, really. You're really only looking at the really cash-rich clubs, say your Man City, PSG, maybe Chelsea, who could really be in the market for him. But I think that Napoli would be in big trouble if they didn't replace Cavani in some way, shape or form. Obviously, they'd get an awful lot of money in. It would give them that possibility of strengthening. I think that they still see themselves as a possibility to get an outside shot at the Champions League this season. If they can get in the Champions League, then do you hold on to Cavani for another year, giving them a good run in the Champions League with the club, or do you then cash in on the fact that the likelihood is, if they do make the Champions League, it will be on the back of Cavani's performances? So is that the right time to sell him? You know, there's all sorts of question marks in terms of what Napoli would do if they sold Cavani, but I think that's more and more becoming a possibility now, because all it would then maybe take is, you look at the likes of Giuseppe Rossi or even Alessandro Pato, the way that their value kind of fell an awful lot on the back of, in Rossi's case, one particularly big injury, in Pato's case, a series of injuries. If Cavani hit that run of misfortune in terms of injury, then they'd start to lose out, and they've got to be wary of that, because at the moment they've got a very, very big asset who, potentially, if they spend that money well, could change the future of the club in a way.
You talk about Cavani there being a big asset, but I mean, they also have Marek Hamsik as well. There was talk of the Lavezzi-Cavani-Hamsik trio all moving before this season. What's been the talk about Hamsik and his future in Napoli? Because, if anything, he's maybe not as vital as Cavani in terms of the goals he scores, but his performances are just as good a lot of the time.
Yeah, I think he's a little more inconsistent, Hamsik. You do find those games where he'll go missing for long stages of the game, but when he does turn it on, he's still a real asset. He's a real top-quality player. I think the thing that we've got to kind of bear in mind with Hamsik now is that he's been at Napoli for 6 years. This is his sixth season, which is, you know, a decent trot. But also, he's wearing the armband these days because of what's happened with Cannavaro. He's really settled, it would seem, at Napoli now. If they were to let Cavani go and they would start to struggle around the middle of the table, would he be more likely to leave? Quite possibly. But it's one of the cases that there will always be speculation about Marek Hamsik, because there has been pretty much since he arrived at Napoli and started pulling up a few trees. And there's going to be, as I said, there's going to be speculation about him. He's been linked to the likes of Milan and Manchester United and all sorts in the past. But at the moment, he seems as settled at Napoli as he ever has. And I think that while there's a big reason why they might want to sell Cavani in terms of what they can get back for him, I don't think there's any real rush to let Hamsik leave. And Hamsik seems happy enough being at Napoli for now.
Napoli's win was obviously a big boost to them, but everybody in that top four or five had a big boost watching Juventus lose to the 10-man Sampdoria. A freak result. I know it wasn't a completely full-strength Juventus squad, but it's still shocking to see them take the lead and lose to a side down to 10 men, especially someone of the quality of Sampdoria.
Well, it was ridiculous, really, and it was they only had themselves to blame. You know, you talk about the kind of teams from 2-5, 2-6, kind of gaining some kind of belief in that. I'm not sure about that. I think Juve have got themselves into such a position of dominance that they can afford this odd slip. You wouldn't have expected it, certainly as the game developed. And when it got to 1-0 and then Gaetano Berardi was sent off, I actually thought about switching over and watching a different game. I just thought, oh, there it is, done and dusted. Thankfully, I stuck around to watch the rest because it really unravelled for Juve from there. But I think they made a few mistakes. You know, a Conte decision to go with Paduini on the right-hand side. I've never been a huge fan of Paduini. He was a hard-working midfielder at Atalanta, but never anything more. And I was very surprised when Juve signed him. And to actually use him ahead of the likes of Martin Caceres and Mauricio Isla, who are much more at home on the right-hand side. In fact, you know, principally, particularly in Mauricio Isla's case, that's his position. And yet, Paduini has been chosen a couple of times ahead of him there this season. Strikes was a strange one. Macri, I just don't know why Conte keeps going with him. Paluso was a bit of a strange signing. It was a difficult debut for him. And he is a player who, you know, if teams play against him right, then they could really pick at his deficiencies. And Sanz did that in the second half on Sunday. So I think there were a series of kind of errors that led to Juve losing. Obviously, they were without Chiellini, they were without Asamoah and Lichtsteiner, and they left out Vidal, which I thought was a big surprise, because when you lose somebody like Chiellini, who is your defensive rock, and who makes up for so much on that left-hand side with not an awful lot of support down there in a defensive capacity, to then rob yourself of Arturo Vidal as well, who did the hard work defensively in the midfield, it just made them very weak and quite easy to bypass it in the defensive half of the field. So I think Conte will have learned a few lessons from Sunday. I thought he got some of his substitutions wrong as well. I thought that the way that he and Marchisio between them handled Marchisio's injury at the end of the game could have put them in big trouble. Thankfully, Marchisio's only going to be out for a few weeks after getting a bit of a lesion on his knee. It was one of those that, you know, it almost from start to finish, it was just a bad day for Juve, and even, you know, taking a 1-0 lead against 10 men wasn't going to be quite enough, because Samp really got at their business really, really well.
Does this at all affect, Conte was asked, does this affect the transfers coming in of potentially Llorente and also Didier Drogba? Do you think this sort of result will have an effect on how these players are viewing the moves? And which of these is more likely, do you think, Chris?
I think it's a important not to overreact to one result. I think it's more, there was an awful lot to take from that game in terms of tactics and team selection and what have you. So I think they shouldn't completely overreact, or certainly not on the strength of that one game. I think there were things on display within that game that have been there for a while, such as Mathery. He's not a top-class striker. He's not a Juve striker. They need somebody else in there. As you say, Llorente, they're now in talks with him over a move in the summer. There's a lot of belief that Juve will push to try to pay maybe up to €7 million and bring him in earlier, if they can get away with that. But Drogba, maybe, I'm just thinking that, you know, Llorente is somebody who, yes, he will lift them up a level, but he won't lift them to the very top level necessarily. And I think they still need to make another big signing. And when we talk about big signings, Juve are the type of club who, well, in the past, they've not necessarily gone out and splashed out millions and millions of pounds on the very best. It might be time for them to really say, if we're going to challenge at the very top end of the Champions League, we need somebody who's going to score more often than not. And maybe they should be in the running for the likes of a Falcao or Cavani or even a Lewandowski or somebody like that, rather than Didier Drogba, who, yes, would be a good addition in the short term, but obviously years are not on his side now.
Chris, one move that definitely has gone through in Serie A is the return to Serie A of Giuseppe Rossi. He really flourished when he was on loan at Parma back in 2007. A return to Fiorentina. Do you see this as a positive move for his career and positive for Fiorentina as well? Will he slide straight into this squad?
Well, it's going to be difficult, obviously, in the short term, in that he's been out for, it's 15 months now, I guess. He's somebody who, if he arrived at Fiorentina 15 months ago, you'd say he's straight in the tide. He's going to score probably 20 goals in the season, and you'd back him to be a massive, massive success there. The question mark is how he might recover. 15 months is an awful long time to not be playing football. No matter what he's done in terms of recovery, recuperation, and training, it's not like playing on the football field. We see it so often in the past when, you know, even a player who can miss 4 or 5 weeks over pre-season, you really, really kind of pay for not having that pre-season spell. You really need that pre-season at times. So if you can lose so much by missing 4 or 5 weeks at a long time, then think about what can happen over 15 months. I think the rest of this season even might be a bit of a, not a learning curve necessarily, but a bit of a first step back into action for Rossi, because, he's going to need an awful lot of guidance and help, and Fiorentina are going to have to be very patient with him. But I think in the longer term, then yeah, he could be a top signing for them. And they're a side that really come together now. They've picked up some absolute bargains over the past 6 or 7 months. And Rossi, if he can get anywhere near his best again, then he's just yet another top quality signing. And it's easy to forget, actually, that just 15, 18 months ago, it was Rossi and Cassano who were the first choices for Italy under Cesare Prandelli, and it looks as though they were the future for Italy. And if Rossi can get back to his best form, then there's no reason why he can't be playing every week for Fiorentina in Italy before long. And he might have a big say in what happens at the World Cup for Italy as well.
Does it have a change on Jovetic's situation as a possible transfer target for people as well, bringing in Giuseppe Rossi?
Possibly, but I'd say that In an ideal world for Fiorentina right now, they'll be looking at the possibility of playing Jovetic alongside Rossi, because, as I say, you know, Jovetic has never been a kind of number nine. He's never been somebody who plays off the left shoulder. He's the more creative type of player, similar to a Cassano, if you like. The way that works with Cassano and Rossi seems to work very well for the Azzurri when they play together. So I think, as I say, the plan for Fiorentina will be to have both of them play, and I don't see why that couldn't work. Jovetic has played alongside the likes of Vlahovic, Toney, and Elham Belli at various times this season, and you know, there's been pros and cons about each partnership that he's been a part of. I think that certainly, as I say, in an ideal world, Fiorentina are looking at the very possibility that Jovetic and Rossi could be the partnership that actually takes them into the Champions League and then does something with them in the Champions League next year, I think Fiorentina would love to be, you know, sitting in the draw room at the Champions League draw in August with Jovetic and Rossi as part of their makeup and you know, looking at playing some of the big sides of Europe, because that is well within their sights right now.
Chris, we saw obviously on Monday night the FIFA World 11 was introduced to the world, made up entirely of La Liga players and only one player from outside of either Barcelona or Real Madrid in Falcao, the Atletico Madrid striker. What did you make of this and what have the Italian press made of this announcement in terms of all the other leagues in Europe and across the world being completely left alone, left out of this starting World 11?
Well, obviously, from an Italian point of view, the big question is, where is Andrea Pirlo? And it just seems absolute nonsense that Pirlo not be included in her side after the 2012 that he had. Since the very day he turned up at Juventus and played his first game in September 2011. He absolutely transformed Juventus from a seventh-place side into a Scudetto-winning side, into an unbeaten Scudetto-winning side at that. He's transformed Italy into a challenger at the Euros with three man of the match performances. Everything he's done has been absolutely fantastic over the past 15, 16 months, and that includes the entirety of the 2012 that supposedly people were voting on now. Obviously, it goes down to players' votes, this 11, but to me it just seems as though, you know, these players have either only watched two games a week for the past year, or they've done it completely on reputation. You know, to have, for instance, Dani Alves in that side just seems ridiculous to me. To have Pique in that side seems ridiculous to me. Marcelo is a big question mark as well, and Ashley Cole was probably the only really consistent player for Chelsea in their Champions League run last season. To have, as much as I love Xavi as a midfield player, and Xavi Alonso as well, has had a great season, obviously, with Madrid winning the league. But if you're telling me either of them deserve to be in there ahead of Andrea Pirlo, then, you know, I'm in massive disagreement. Falcao, obviously, while he's the only non-Barcelona Real Madrid player in there, you know, I think there are other considerations that could have gone into that side, particularly looking at somebody like Rafa Ibrahimovic from a kind of Italian point of view. As much as Milan didn't win the league, he won the Capo Cannonieri again. He was absolutely fantastic, and then he's gone to PSG and done exactly the same. And, you know, I just think there were so many considerations that just went used in the voting, and it's absolutely ridiculous. And there have been times in the past when I've spoken with various people and they've said about a particular footballer, well, you know, if you stop him in the street on a Thursday, like in a random situation, and ask him about football, he'll say, sorry, don't know much about it, I'm not a big football fan, I just happen to play it. And at times you don't believe that. You're like, well, they must love football, but you know, that when you see how some of them voted, and the fact that they've clearly gone on reputation, then it just shows that, you know, some footballers don't know anything about a football team.
is there any argument at all that maybe Cavani could have been thrown into that as well? I mean, he's had an incredible 2012 and has made his name as one of the best strikers in Europe at the moment, in European football at the moment. In him instead of Falcao, do you think there's an argument for that?
Possibly. I think if anything, maybe if 2011 was a little bit better. You know, he scored hat-tricks against Juve and Milan that year. He, you know, had a great run in the group stage with Napoli in the Champions League. In 2012, again, he scored big goals again throughout the year. But when it came to the Champions League, Napoli went out pretty softly in the end to Chelsea when they should have gone through, really. And if they'd gone a round or two further, maybe in the Champions League, and he'd had a bit more of an impression in the deeper stage, then definitely it'd have been a consideration. But it'd have been another one that I'd have certainly thought about. Falcao scored an awful lot of goals in the Europa League, and we all know, you know, how I feel about the Europa League. Anyone who's read anything I've ever written on that competition. There are an awful lot of kind of holes to pick in that side, and you know, it's almost not worth even thinking about it, because you know, if you start to take stuff like that seriously, looking at that 11 that they chose, then you know, you pull your hair out and it'd go grey in no time at all. So,
Chris, it's been an absolute pleasure to get your thoughts on the very beginning of 2013, obviously a little bit on what's gone on over the winter break as well. We love getting you on the show, mate, and we look forward to getting you on later on in the season as well, man.
Cheers, guys. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year to you too. Chris Folks there of Goal.com joining us to talk all things Italian football here on World Football Daily. Very interesting. I completely think that Falcao is one of the few people that definitely should have been challenged. But sorry, that Cavani should definitely been challenging for a spot in that team, maybe ahead of Falcao.
Juice, did you get a sense of bitterness from Chris? I mean,
there was almost tension in the voice there after a bit, wasn't there?
Tension in the room. I kind of felt like I was a little on edge on my seat there.
We know you love that free bit from us here at WFD. Now go and sign up and get access to a huge archive of our content and interviews and download the best daily podcast in America. Go to worldfootballdaily.com and become a member today.